Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome into another episode of 5 Out.
When you say 5 Out, what do you mean by that?
We're talking about Kyrie, and apparently the Brooklyn Nets have already soured on him just a little bit. Maybe not. I don't know. We'll see. Jackie Mack reported on it from ESPN. The Warriors are in a lot more trouble than we expect them to be. We'll obviously touch on the Celtics as well. James Harden, that hasn't had necessarily the ideal start with the Rockets. Got a few other things, too, to get into. Make sure, if you haven't already, leave a rating and review on iTunes and Stitcher or Spotify, Google Play, wherever you listen to us. And you can send us a screenshot of the rating and review to @5OutPod on either Twitter or Instagram to redeem your free T-shirt. We have larges and XLs, a limited number left.
And let's get it going.
I'm just trying to be all right with it, yeah. I'm just trying to be all right with it, yeah. I'm just trying to see the light in it. I think we should take a ride with it. I'm just trying to spend the night with it, yeah. I just want to be all right with it, yeah.
If you had asked me what the over-under was on Kyrie starting to become like somewhat of a problem for the Nets in terms of his emotional behavior or whatever, I would not have said in the first week we would hear anything about the Nets having any level of concern. Then Tuesday morning, Jackie Mack has a report, and apparently Nets officials are worried about it a little bit. There's a lot more to it, and we'll get into that in a second, but I'm surprised. I honestly am. I mean, I don't think he handled himself well on opening night. As much as Nets fans love that he's like, oh, you know, I want to be here and all this stuff, whatever, and he said it on Media Day that he wants to retire here, all that crap. It's just, you've been here for 5 minutes, and you're already saying that you want to stay here, retire here, and whatever. You have no idea how you're going to get along with Kenny Atkinson and half of these other guys as much as you've been friends with them elsewhere. And I can't believe we're in week two now of the 2019-20 season, and now we're hearing reports that Nets officials are concerned about his mood swings.
One word, fraud. That's what he is. He's a fraud.
I think there's something wrong with him. And
I mean, you guys can take that take. I personally think he is just a classic douchebag. That's what he is. And he honestly,
that's the prevailing opinion.
I don't know how else to say it, because it's not like he's, I don't know. I mean, in Cleveland, did he really have this problem, or was just they just hit it under the table?
Well, in Jackie's report, Cleveland, his ex-teammates have confirmed it in Cleveland. And I know on The Jump, Ty and I were listening to some sound from Rachel Nichols and Ramona Shelbourne, and some of them have said how that was, Cleveland said there was like an issue there too. Some people from Cleveland. Yeah. So it's
so
not.
What do you think his problem is? Like, if you were really putting it in
you
medical
know what?
Terms.
Speaking of The Jump, I did not expect to jump to this one early, but we actually had, they had Chinne Ogumike, I got that right.
Plays for the Sparks.
She played for the Sparks and has been broadcasting for a little while now. She actually played with Kyrie, or was at the McDonald's All-American at the
back
same time
school,
as
yeah.
Kyrie. So she talked about what he was like back then, and I think this gives pretty good insight.
So I met Kyrie for the first time in the McDonald's All-American game. Ooh. I'm going into my senior year, and we spent a week together in Columbus, Ohio. Ooh. And so, yeah, see, bus in the house. So it was just a bonding experience with a whole bunch of young high school people. And Kyrie has always been an enigma. You know, he sort of just danced to the beat of his own drum. And when I heard KD say these things, I wasn't surprised, because KD has always been the type of guy to let people live. He let Russ live in OKC.
Ooh,
when he joined the Warriors, he let Steph and Klay live. And now he sort of operates his best game when he does have another superstar that he understands and builds a friendship with. So for Kyrie, everyone that knows Kyrie since he was 15, 16, knows he's just a little bit different. But that's how artists are, and that's how savants are, honestly. And he's a savant with the ball.
Yeah, I mean, he's a different.
Oh, he's amazing with the ball.
I mean, he's a savant with the ball.
I mean, after watching the first couple games, like, it's not close. Well, I guess that's too harsh. It's shown that Kyrie is a better player than Kemba. Mm-hmm. But after watching some of the stuff he's already done, I'll take Kemba any day. Give me him any day. Because Kemba, is just one of those teammates that is just a great guy. Like, I've listened to audio, like, in-game or what he said in the press conference afterwards. Like, he's just a way better guy to have around the locker room. I mean, obviously, Kemba's a good player. He's not as good as Kyrie.
No.
But Kyrie's a total douchebag, and I just don't – I don't want to be – I wouldn't, as a fan, as a – even if I was a player, I wouldn't want to be around that.
I think the one of the bigger differences between the two is that Kemba does not look at himself and say, yeah, I'm better than – like, Kyrie does, definitely.
Oh, absolutely.
And that's, yeah. And I think the best example of that, too, is you look at the defense and what the Nets are going through right now. They've played the Timberwolves, who have looked better, fine, mm-hmm. but they struggled against the Knicks. And then who was the other team that they played and they lost to
Memphis.
In overtime? Memphis. You lose to Memphis
and
in overtime.
And Ja Morant was killing.
He looked outstanding. But still, you shouldn't – I mean, Ty, that's your worst team in the NBA. The Nets should not
I
be losing to
there.
Them. Yes, and they shouldn't be losing to them,
no,
right?
No, they shouldn't. No.
Exactly. The defense is the problem there. They're all saying it. Caris LeVert said it. Harris said it. Atkinson said it. That's their problem, not their offense.
Because Kyrie don't play D.
And then they're playing a ton of ISO ball now, too. Where
oh, really?
And I like Kyrie and ISO. I don't normally enjoy it, but I enjoy it with him because of his handles. But it's a problem. I mean, that's their.
But it's not good basketball.
It's not good basketball.
Is he a smaller version of James Harden?
Yes.
Ooh, that's a good take.
Not even a question.
I think so.
He's. I mean, I think personally, he's way more talented than James Harden.
Oh, I think so. Too.
I think so.
Skill wise.
But James Harden is one of the best at getting to the free throw line too.
Of course, because it's the NBA.
Yeah, but well, I mean, but not everybody does it quite like he does. I mean, he got there.
Oh, he's a big body. Yeah, yeah.
He's a big body. He's a superstar. Obviously, Kyrie's knock when it comes to that. He always does a good job of avoiding contact.
Yeah, and he finishes well with both hands. Where James Harden, maybe have seen him make one right-handed layup.
And it's just factual that James Harden is a better scorer than Michael Jordan.
Ugh,
the over/under has now set at 1.5 for how many times Tyler's going to play that cut. Each episode.
Oh, yeah. It's official. Like I have my finger on the trigger just ready to go.
We got
to
talk to Payday Pod about them setting it every single week so that way people can put a line out there for everybody. But how do you feel about James Harden, by the way? Both of you. Is James Harden struggling a little bit early on? Not looked his best.
You didn't get my text on Sunday morning at 5:24 a.m.?
Right there before you ran your marathon?
Yeah, yeah.
How you feeling, by the way?
I feel a little sore. I can't feel my legs.
You looked a little uncomfortable walking down the stairs
today.
Yeah,
it was a struggle. You asked for the elevator. I said, nah, I'm good.
Yeah,
I'm
that is typical Matt Medeiros.
I manned up.
To a T.
Anyways.
That's what it is.
I texted you 5:24 in the morning. I said, Harden last night, 8 for 29 from the floor, 2 for 18 from three. But he scored 29 points, guys. Let's talk about that, because that's all. If you go on, like, the NBA site, they're like, oh, Harden drops 29 and they win. It's like, he took 28 shots.
Yeah.
We don't care about efficiency what? Anymore.
No, we don't.
No,
hey, don't,
it's just factual. It's factual, though.
Has he lost the right to dump on James Harden and the Rockets? Because he has them yeah, as his 3 seed. I don't know.
Not if he
I'm
hates.
A big Russell Westbrook and Clint Capella fan.
Okay. Oh, Clint Capella, okay.
I can respect that, but the James Harden thing. And then the other night, he shot 2 for 16 from 3. At what point do you say, all right, I'm not hitting tonight, let's just get to the basket?
Hey,
clock hits zero.
Russ much. Has been their hero right now, though. He's looked the best out of anybody so far there. And what they almost lost to the Thunder the other night, too, who definitely looked better than most people expected them to right. originally.
So
Shea looks outstanding.
He's good.
He's got some nice moves. And you know who looked pretty good at the end of the game, too, was Nerlens Noel. I know it's like, who cares about Nerlens Noel, right. but I was, yeah, I know Ty's thinking that right now. Who cares about Nerlens
I
Noel?
Like Nerlens.
He looked good, though. I was
total bust in the NBA. Like, he was a highly recruited player out of high school.
Yes.
I think like number one, number two in the country. In his
third draft
he's
pick.
He's been okay in the NBA.
Third overall draft pick.
He's a guy.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a guy. But he's
just a guy.
I think he's a good guy to have on most, like on a winning team. I think
the Celtics could use Nerlens Noel.
I thought that they were going to go after him when everything was going down, but. Because he like backed out of the deal, then got back into it. It's a very weird situation.
So both of you guys agree with me that maybe James Harden and Kyrie have a lot of comparisons. I guess similarities here.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, they definitely do.
Yeah, both not very good defensively either.
Yeah.
No.
And that's been the most glaring thing, too. He got worked by Morant.
Dude,
and now he's
Morant,
stuck.
And you know what I liked about Morant? You see, he was and he was saying stuff to him after.
He don't care.
No, he don't. I like that a lot.
But the thing about Kyrie when he was in Boston was his defense was not good. But it was better than what I expected it to be, and it looks terrible right
but
now.
But is
Brooklyn.
It? Do you think? Here's my question's always been with him and Harden. To be honest with you, are they that bad at defenders, or do they really not give a shit about playing defense?
I think they don't give a damn.
No,
conserving
I don't think
the
they.
Energy.
Yeah, exactly. And then for some reason,
it's like LeBron now, right?
Yeah,
same way.
Yes, LeBron is always conserving energy for sure. Yeah, but I mean, I do wonder sometimes with Kyrie. I do wonder too, is if they just can't figure out. But I just think with a guy that good, there's no way. If you're that skilled offensively, you have to be able to anticipate some level on the defensive end. So yes, I think you're right that there's some level of laziness. But back to the whole Kyrie thing, though, as a general thing. One thing that kind of stood out to me in the Jackie Mack story. Yes, she talked about how he informed Danny Ainge on, what was it, during his exit interview, right, that he was going to leave. And then there's the whole thing about the moodiness that we hit on before with the Nets being concerned about it. Kevin Durant's like, I got his back, but at the same time, he's going to let him do his thing. He's not going to go and try and right the ship. But another thing that kind of stood out to me in the course of all this, too, was I guess the Nets sent out, like, this text or whatever it was, letting everybody know we have, what is it, table time and these workouts with the performance staff and all these things, and they were like, no, like, we're not going. I think that was DeAndre Jordan and Kyrie Irving went on that, and there may have been one other, but they said plainly, I'm not doing it. And one thing that Kenny Atkinson said that stood out in this story to me was, but I can already see it morphing into something it was not before, talking about the team in general. When Joe Harris was trying to make it in the league, he was saying, I'll do whatever you want. Now we're dealing with veterans who are saying, okay, this is how you do it, but this is how I've always done it, and this has worked for me.
Coming from the coach, that's bad.
And he's the first guy who will go and defend Kyrie, too, about how he's not been an issue. And we have the sound of that, too, and we'll play in a minute, but
That doesn't
sound good at all.
No, that sounds like he's contradicting himself if he's backing Kyrie but saying that.
And one thing where you've been saying the whole time in your defense that Kyrie's, it's not going to go well in Brooklyn. And I've kind of debated it, but as we've gone along, listening to him talk about Kenny Atkinson, listening to him talk about the defense and everything and how the offense is run, I just feel like more and more, this is where he's going to pick his battle, not necessarily with the young guys, but kind of with Kenny to some extent.
Because who was his role model growing up in the league?
LeBron.
LeBron. Yep. And LeBron, what good relationship has LeBron ever had with a coach? Because LeBron thinks he's better than the coach.
Right. He thinks he knows more all the time.
Which he probably, LeBron, in LeBron's case, he probably does. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you need to have your best player, and that's what I've always respected about Tom Brady, Belichick, that relationship.
Yep.
Because Tom Brady's a superstar, Hall of Famer, GOAT, whatever, but he still respects the coach.
Right.
And I know we're talking about different sports, but I guess it goes back to, I can bring it back to basketball, Pop and Tim Duncan.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And I know Pop's got the resume and all that, but it all started because of that. Your best players buy in.
Exactly.
So if Kyrie's not going to buy in with that, it's going to be the same shit show it was here last year.
On behalf of us. Oh, man, I'm sorry. It's just hitting me right now.
Oh, yeah, it's hitting me, too. But you remember, I mean, he said, remember we used to do to Brad all last year? It was awkward, too. He'd throw him under the bus hard.
Yeah, it was not like he's done to Kenny so far, but he's only been there a short amount of time. And my thing is that this is the guy that you picked. And that's one thing LeBron always did, is he picked his coaches. He did it with Ty Lue.
He did.
I mean, Spoelstra, he picked him pretty much, too. So you go and
Mike
do
Mike Brown.
Exactly. Now you have Kenny Atkinson, who you picked. I mean, you picked him, right? I mean, am I wrong?
He didn't handpick the coach, I don't think, but he handpicked the situation,
right,
for sure.
Kenny was there, but...
He signed up to play for Kenny Atkinson.
Exactly. So you know what you're getting into.
Right.
And Atkinson, he talked about it. It was on Tuesday at Nets practice, right after all the report came out, and he was there to defend Kyrie. And there is something that he said that I was a little interested about.
That is completely false. And strictly speaking of my observation and my experience with them so far, it's absolutely not true. I say I'm the moody one. I really am. I hate it. Like, I'm cranky and I have my ups and downs. So if there's just natural human behavior where guys are up and down, that's different. But from my perspective, I just give him give Kyrie an A+ on his consistency and his spirit, and it's been great.
His spirit.
Did he just say that?
I just give him give Kyrie an A+ on.
In what?
I think it was his spirit.
Shot value.
I give him A+ in his ball handling.
Give Kyrie an A+ on his consistency.
Yeah,
and his,
it's BS.
Whatever.
But the one thing I will say about Atkinson, this is the one reason why I will say if anybody's going to be able to figure his ass out, it's going to be Kenny Atkinson, because he takes ownership of his moodiness, right? And it's, I mean, it's not a secret. If you watch the Nets for 5 seconds, you're going to see him freak out. Every right. picture that I have to cut out of Kenny Atkinson from USA Today or Getty Images is him screaming his face off. That's what he is. And that's one thing people like about him. That's what Torian Prince loves about him. But I would think if anybody can figure out how to deal with Kyrie, it's somebody else who's also moody. It will lead to issues at times, sure. But I think that is if he can't make it work with Kenny, I don't think he's going to make it work with anybody. That's no questions asked in my mind.
We never heard of any problems that any player, college, high school, NBA, that any of these players had with Brad Stevens. Last year was the first time we ever heard a player could not mesh with Brad Stevens.
Right.
That's Kyrie Irving. He can't mesh with anybody.
But I think that Brad and you look at the two, and they're different individuals, don't you think?
Right.
And I think that's why most people are not equipped to deal with Kyrie Irving. I think that's a very, very fair claim. And I think Brad just had no shot going into all this.
I don't think anyone has had a shot. I think this is 100% doomed to be a disaster for Kenny Atkinson in the Nets.
How long do you think till it's just... How long do you think till Kenny's gone? I guess would be the best question.
Oh, they're going to have to choose Kyrie or the coach.
Well, you know who they're going to choose.
The douchebag, yeah, I know.
They're going to pick
it him. Would be probably November 1st, 2020.
November? That fast?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I think
you have a disappointing year. You start out next season slow, and then right there, Kyrie's already probably talking to Brian Windhorst or someone at ESPN. Oh, Kenny Atkinson, this guy. Culture issues. Can't work with him.
I don't know how many media people he'll do it in the scrums, because he does not like talking, I don't think, to reporters one-on-one too often. But either way, I mean, look, like I said, if anybody's going to do it, I think it's going to be Atkinson, but it's still...
Media has broken up locker rooms.
Who said that? Oh, the
media has broken up locker rooms.
Oh, yeah, they break up locker rooms.
It's not leadership. It's not me. I'm not the problem.
Media has broken up locker rooms.
Yeah, it's the whole... The media finds out about stuff and then reports on it. If the media is not reporting factual information, then yes, that's on them. But I'm sure that most of the time usually when there's smoke, there's fire. Like that's why when Spencer Dinwiddie and DeAndre Jordan came to Kyrie's defense and all this, and obviously Atkinson. But I don't doubt that there's something going on here. How bad is it? I do question that, but. There's definitely something. You can't tell me that. I mean, it's not like this is the first time it's ever happened with Kyrie. So there's smoke. There's the track record. I mean, I get it. They got to do what they do for their teammates, but...
I know Matt's down to do this next part. Do you want to dig into how much of a douche Kyrie is?
Well, go ahead.
This is an audio cut from the voice of the Celtics, Mike Gorman. Michael Holly on an NBC Sports podcast, and we'll just let it play. This makes Kyrie look pretty bad.
A lot of volunteers to drive him to the airport. You know, did you like him? Because I had no feelings towards him. Michael, I would tell you, in the time that Kyrie was with Boston, if we exchanged 10 words, it was a lot.
Wow.
Once I remember him asking me in a hotel lobby where the house phone was.
He said, who are you?
I think he thought I worked there. I think he did. And then another time... He walked by me. I was in a conversation with somebody else. He walked by behind me, and he said, "Oh, I know that voice."
That's good.
It was nice. You know, it was a nice compliment. But that was it. There were two or three different times, to tell you the truth, that I got on an elevator with. He was on the elevator, and other people who were staying in the hotel were on the elevator, and I got on, and he would just stone you, wouldn't acknowledge you. You know, I would say like, "How you doing, Kyrie?" And boom, straight ahead. Nothing.
Stoning Mike Gorman in an elevator.
That's
bad
weird.
First team, all douche. What he is, man.
I think there's something there.
We shouldn't be surprised anymore. I don't know if it's necessarily fair to say, oh, there might be some sort of... I personally kind of think that way, but I don't know if it's fair to say, like, oh, he's suffering from depression or maybe like a borderline personality disorder. He's definitely a douchebag. I don't know.
But look at what happened with Greinke in the World Series, right? He had the
severe anxiety issues.
And that was in the ALCS, I think it was. Correct. Actually. But he just totally shut down, and everybody like jokes about it.
Right.
Yes, he handles it differently than Kyrie did, so I don't know if it's the same thing. We're not doctors here. But I mean, I don't know. This is just all kind of bizarre. I mean, and then Chennai was saying it too. He's different. If everybody's saying that, there's
Oh, he's definitely different.
I don't know, man. This is so different, though.
I mean, he's a savant with the ball.
Like, okay, I said it to you in the text. Like, he makes David Price look like a kitten.
He
right?
does. He's
and
just...
I have no issues with David Price. I want that to be known.
To be honest with you, when I saw that,
you
when
hate
you
him.
Who?
You hate David Price. You get annoyed with him.
No, I just think he's soft.
Okay, but, I mean, he's...
No, he's nothing like Kyrie. Kyrie's a different animal, but I wasn't even mad when you sent this article. It kind of was, like, reassuring how I already thought about him. And I was like, you know what? I'm just glad I don't have to deal with it anymore, like, or hear about it. Like,
not our problem.
It's not our problem anymore. And I love... After listening to Kemba speak after... I think it was the Friday night game. I was like, oh my God, thank God I get to listen to someone that's normal, that appreciates his teammates.
Mm-hmm.
Right? What kind of role model is Kyrie for other young players growing up?
Not a good one.
That's what I'm saying. Like, that's why he said, I think he's a douchebag, and I don't root for a guy like that. And I don't even care that he left the Celtics.
But if
it's the way he carries himself. Like, dude, you're such a prick.
Yeah, you're right.
Team sports. Who would want to play with a guy like that? Who would want some guy coming on their team that knows that's his history?
The Brooklyn Nets, Spencer Dinwiddie, Joe Harris.
At some point, talent. Right. It doesn't matter how talented you are as a player. If you can't play with anybody else, you're never gonna win shit.
Plan on re-signing here next year.
Woo-hoo! Oh! By the way, I'm convinced, and I've been holding on to this one for a while. I'm convinced that Joe Harris will not be with the Brooklyn Nets next year. And I do think there's a chance. This is all speculation on my end, paying attention to little things. And I think he'll be wearing a Celtics uniform next year.
No.
Just based on some stuff, we'll get into it another time if it actually happens. But I think he will not be.
Is that a Fryer bomb?
This is not a Fryer bomb. This is pure speculation on my part. Don't play a friggin' stupid sounder. Anyways, I don't want to get bogged down into that right now. But speaking of the Celtics and everything, there's the Warriors too. That's a freaking train wreck.
It's three games. Did they look awful in that two losses? Yes, it was embarrassing.
No disrespect,
it was absolutely embarrassing.
No disrespect to the Thunder. I mean, I'm very...
It was embarrassing.
That's bad.
It's three games, though.
You got smoked by the Thunder, though.
Like, bro, they didn't even show up. They didn't even show up.
That's a problem, is it not?
If this is 20 games in the season, yes. I'm going to say yes, it's a problem. It's three.
So
it's three.
What does that matter? You don't show up. You know you need to win every single game because you don't have cat.
I'm just telling you,
Willie.
Is it concerning? Yes. Am I like, oh my God, they're not going to make the playoffs? No, it's three games.
You're not concerned at all.
I'm concerned. I had them at like 9 in my power ranking.
So why are you concerned? You're
concerned.
In a good spot. They're not going
to. Because three games is enough sample size for me to change my opinion.
So.
Just on the Warriors.
But what are you saying?
I'm saying that they would not be 9 if we redid my power rankings.
Okay.
Overall, I'm sorry. It's three games.
How about what Draymond had to say the other day?
Because he's right. What he said was completely right. They didn't show up. They sucked.
Yeah, they did suck. He said
mean they sucked. They sucked that game. They were terrible in that game.
The reality is we fucking suck right now.
Oh, man. Suck right now?
Right now. That's whatever. It's three games.
He's saying they suck right now.
Personally, their effort sucked.
In the NBA, you shouldn't
get blown out by 40. I don't give a shit if you're the worst team in the league. You shouldn't get blown out by 40. If you get blown out by 40, that's probably one thing. That's effort.
Definitely. It's definitely
effort. They were down 40 at half.
It's nuts.
Might as well just go home and go on the bus.
What was it, 70-something to 37, right?
It was bad. 70-37.
You giving up 70 points and a half. Like that, you're just not trying.
That's nuts.
Imagine the Hornets when they face the Western Conference this year.
Oh.
They're already benching. I think Terry Rozier was sitting in crunch time recently.
Oh, really? I'm surprised. Hey, keep sending him that money.
They may be the worst team.
That piece of shit.
Someone was praising P.J. Washington the other day, and I cannot remember
who
it was.
I actually saw him play some highlights. He actually looked pretty good.
So how about this one for you? Three players on opening night strained 7 three-pointers. Ty already knows who the three are. One of them was P.J. Washington. Do you know who the other two were?
On opening night? No, I do not know.
Kyrie Irving and Kat.
I should have known Kyrie. Cat. I would have known. He's been playing
7
well.
7 for 11 against the Nets.
That's awesome.
And that's a record for opening night. And it's PJ Washington. I'm fairly certain on PJ Washington. Certain on Cat and Kyrie. I was stunned. Anyway, what the hell? Oh, let's play that whole cut of Draymond. Sorry.
The reality is we fucking suck right now, and hopefully we'll get better. We'll continue working at it and try to get better, but we just not that good right now. And I don't know what better way to frame that for you or tell it. You know, I could try in Spanish, but I ain't really that good in Spanish. That's really the best way I can tell it to you right now.
So, you know what, Matt? I will say I think that they're in trouble when it comes to looking ahead and playoffs and everything like that. I understand it's early, but I'm not writing them off yet. Someone has written them off, though. Someone who knows a ton about not winning titles and disappointment and all that. Charles Barkley.
Rush back to try and win a go to a six straight finals if I'm not 100% because our window to win another championship, I think, is open in the next 5-6 years.
Go ahead, Charles.
Well, number one, I hope you get back soon, but you're just wrong.
What is he wrong about?
Well, I think they won the Shet.
Shet.
Well, because I don't think they can score enough. I want to make my other prediction, and I was wrong before the game.
Mm-hmm.
I said they were going to be the 7-8 seed. They're not going to make the playoffs because they just can't score enough. You know, you look
so
at.
So you can tell after one half of basketball.
Yes.
Playing
yes.
with the best defensive team, no, the Clippers.
No, but not just that, Candace. You know, when you look at your team, you say, okay, Steph can get me 30. D'Angelo can get me 20. But Draymond, even though he's a heck of a player, he only going to get me 15. That's not enough in the Western Conference this year.
Would you like to respond to that, Clay?
I mean, Chuck has the right to be a little pessimistic, but I think these young guys are going to step up, man. I did a shooting drill with Jordan Poole yesterday. He smoked me 3 out of 5 spots, you know. Glenn Robinson has plenty of experience in this league. I really like what Marquise has given us this training camp. We've kind of revived him, and it's I think it's exciting, man. I think we got enough guys to get us there at least.
We got enough guys? He just named Jordan Poole, Glenn Robinson.
And Chris.
And Marquise Chris was a cast-off from the Phoenix Suns.
They revived him, though.
Am I missing something?
He's fine now.
Chuck's right. You're going to have 65, 85 points a night from those three guys. But other than that, where are you getting your stops from, your rebounds? Where are you getting your scoring from? Jordan Poole, Glenn Robinson, and Marcus Chris?
What I was most confused about from that clip, and I know there's no clarification from him on it, but you want to say that they're in trouble this year, but was he trying to say that their window's shut like after this year, too? Is that what that you guys got out of that, too?
Yes.
That Chuck was saying that?
Yeah.
Why?
Well, because I don't think they can score enough. I want to make my other prediction, and I was wrong before the game.
Mm-hmm.
I said they were going to be the 7-8 seed. They're not going to make the playoffs. Because they just can't score enough. You know, you look
so
at...
So you can tell after...
I think it was before that.
What is he wrong about?
Well, I think they won the Shet.
Right, because Clay said that they can win, you know, five, six years, yeah. Whatever it was. I don't agree with that their window's shut for the next 5-6 years. They can definitely do it still with Clay, Draymond, and Steph as their core.
That's an incredible core.
Yeah, and then if... God, I keep wanting to call him Cat. Willie Cauley-Stein comes back and he is a serviceable piece. You're like one or two guys away from then being right in the thick of things again. So I don't get, I mean, if that's what Chuck feels, that they're done, like it's gone, he's full of shit. I don't buy in.
I think they won the Shet.
Shet. Anyway, so you're good.
It's three games.
Okay, we'll move on then.
Chuck changed his prediction off a half.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. It's ridiculous. Come back to me in 20 games.
20 games?
Yeah.
All right, we're going to mark it down right now. 20
I think
games.
They won the Shet.
Shet. The Celtics, three games through, though. They're playing the Bucks on Wednesday, which is when the podcast drops. How are you feeling about them so far? Jason Tatum got nominated for Player of the Week, which I was stunned by.
That's crazy. Anyway, this is...
That's a good... I wrote
but
about
this
it.
Goes back to the NBA, like I told you, the Harden thing.
Yep.
Oh, Harden scores 29 and wins. It's like... The dude shot. Has Jason Tatum shot well from the floor in any game?
From three, he has. That's it.
Yeah, that's it.
The first two games, he shot 50%
from
the floor.
Okay, well, and here's my
from
take.
Three, excuse me.
Here's my take on Jason Tatum, because I sent you this at 5:24 in the morning. My three up, three down, the Celtics.
I was very thrown off by that one, too.
So my three up, this is from three games that I've watched. The, what game was it? The Celtics-Knicks ones, I was kind of like in and out of watching it. I didn't, you know, watch it fully. The first two I watched. My three up, Jaylen Brown has been their best player, hands down, best player, except for obviously the game one, he got in foul trouble.
He got in
the
foul
other
trouble
two games,
the third game too, he got in foul trouble.
Yeah, but I think he was excellent in both games.
Yes.
Those two games.
Yes, he looked very good.
Kemba is in one of my ups, and I'll explain why. And Grant Williams has been awesome.
Grant Williams is everything that I wanted Semi Ojeleye to be.
That's why I said Semi, see you later.
Don't give him any more minutes. As much as I want to see the
Grant
play,
Williams is awesome.
Grant Williams is the guy you've been waiting for.
And let's talk about my three ups. Other than Jalen, I already kind of went in that. Kemba, I don't think he's...
Walker.
Oh, Glenn.
I don't think Kemba's been great.
What's wrong with him?
In all the games. Obviously, he was really good against the Knicks. But what I liked about him when I went to the game Friday and I saw it live, and again, he struggled, like, you know, people like making noises in the crowd because he literally like blew a point blank layup. Yeah. You know, I think it was nerves and stuff. Anyway, what I liked about him that game and what people won't talk about is how well he played on the ball. I think he's one of their best on ball defenders. He's a pest. And he was guarding.
Drew four charges.
Drew four. Kyrie ain't taking charges. He threw his body on the line. He was on the ground all the time, hustling, making hustling plays. And that's what I like about him. That's what I like about him. Somebody, the offense will come.
Somebody asked me today if you can compare him to Isaiah, which I was like, that's...
No, like, he's better than Isaiah.
Yeah, he's got a motor like Isaiah did, but he's far more skilled. He's a little bit taller. He's definitely a better defender. I mean, Isaiah was worse than Kyrie was
defensively, though. The last year that Isaiah was here, I don't know if he was better. I think at Kemba's peak, that Isaiah, the last 2 months going into the playoffs, playoff run, there weren't many better offensive players on the planet than him.
Yeah, but that's just, talking about a stretch. Right. I'm talking overall.
Overall. And Kemba creates better separation than Isaiah does. Oh, yeah. And that's one thing, no matter what, throughout the course of these three games, whether he's been good or bad.
No, he's missed his shots.
And I think when I wrote about this, after which game was it? The game that he dropped 30. That was the third game, right?
Yes.
So my big thing in that one was, I feel like, I'm not thinking as much. To me, that says you are trying to be what you're not. You're trying to be a pass-first point guard. I'm not saying he's selfish, but he's a score-first point guard. He's trying to do too much, trying to include other guys more than he necessarily needs to.
He needs to be the number one option. You got to be the dog. You got to be the alpha. That's
what it
is.
He needs to act like that. Yes. Jason Tatum, in my opinion, still needs to be their number one. Like, he needs to be the guy.
Kemba needs to be the guy.
Why?
I don't think Tatum's there yet. And I'll go into it when I get to my three.
Tatum
down.
Has looked good from three no matter what. As much as he struggles from inside, he's still getting opportunities. We'll get to that in a second. But Jaylen Brown, so far?
I might be switching sides soon. Halfway through the season, I might be on the Brown bus. I was very impressed.
You should.
I was very impressed.
Three games, I've already concluded that Jason Tatum can't shoot twos. He should stop.
Jaylen Brown.
We're going to get into the
damn
Tatum.
Damn good.
But what I liked about Brown.
I am so pumped about that.
Especially Friday night.
I like his game.
His aggressiveness was awesome. And he was physical as shit. Mm-hmm. And that's what I liked about him. He didn't. Yes. There was no settling. He was great from the jump. And I think... defensively, there was times that I still get frustrated with him, but whatever. I personally think he's
that's
been.
Gonna happen.
I think he's been their best overall player.
I mean, tell me a player that you don't get frustrated with everyone, like that you never get frustrated with.
I just think Jaylen could be such a better defender, is what I'm saying. Maybe I just hold him to a higher standard because I think he could be.
He's a great athlete, and great athletes should be great defenders.
Yes.
And he came into the league and he was pretty good defensively.
Super
already.
Smart, great athlete. The tools are there.
Yeah, I think he's just. I mean, like he said, he's had to have a different role every year. Yeah. And look at offensively and defensively, actually, both. He has a different role this year. One he may like more, but defensively, that's where he's running into problems, too, because he's down low. He said it. Refs aren't used to seeing him banging down there. He's got to be a little extra physical because he's not as big as everybody. But, yeah, he's been, I mean, I can't say, again, it's three games. You can't say he's worth the money, but if he continues to play like this.
Yes, worth the money.
He would have been, he's worth the money for sure.
And the reason we talk about Grant Williams, he's just... He's everything that you need in that, like, I mean, what is he, like a fifth option offensively when he's in that lineup? Because
he's perfect. He's,
I mean, he was standing up to Gasol, who's like 7 feet tall. He makes Grant Williams look little. I don't know. He's tough.
Well, he's 6'6".
He's smart. He makes great passes. I think he'll eventually hit those outside shots that he's been missing, but I love him in that small lineup.
I don't need him to make the threes.
I'm just saying that's an added bonus.
Maybe a little bit better, but I don't need him to start thinking like I'm a shooter. You're a defender. You're scrappy. You do everything else but score. I don't need that. Not with this lineup. Because you have plenty of other guys.
No, he just has to hit the occasional wide open shot.
And then Marcus Smart's going to shoot a ton, too.
He will.
What is it? Was it against the Knicks that he went like 2-7?
Dude, he was chucking.
I was like, God.
Brad just tell him to freaking stop? It's pissing me off.
Mark Smart, where was... last year you stopped doing this, and now that everybody's gone, now you just think, I can just start jacking
him
up.
I don't think I've ever hated a guy, like, when they switch ends of the floor more than him. Because when he's on defense, I honestly don't... I pick him over almost anybody in the league. I love him on the defensive end. He's such a mother effer.
Yes.
He's awesome. He's an animal. But when they go on the other side of the floor, I just go like this in my head. Don't shoot it. Please don't shoot it.
Mark
pass
is
it.
Stupid.
Please don't shoot it.
His offensive instinct. Around the rim, he's not that bad.
But from three, it's just like slight separation. Oh,
he's the king of the worst. Good shot.
I did it Friday night. One time he shot, I go, and it goes in. I'm like, great. But that's almost the worst thing because I'm like, the next time down, I'm like, this is going up.
He actually, the other day, he made two threes, I think it was, right away.
Yeah, and then he kept shooting.
And then he took a third one. It's like, heat check, here Marcus. He's like, no, just take it and then just go, stop. Just be thankful and that's it.
Well, he didn't make my three down list only because I do love him on defense.
I mean,
but
I don't know what he's shooting right now in terms of 3-point percentage, but I mean, last year he was better. He was like 36%.
It's just when he takes them.
Exactly.
It's not open ones. I don't care about the open.
But let me ask you guys this. If you have to take a shot if you have to get one up at the end of a shot clock and like last second just heave it up, is Smart your guy that's taking
probably.
It?
Yeah, probably. He would make it.
He made that teardrop three the other day.
Yeah, that was ridiculous.
Say, of course.
Ridiculous.
He'll be wide open, but you go and miss it, but you'll take that.
But to my three down list, Tatum's number one on this list. I'm very down on Tatum. I get it. He's shot. All right, you said he's shooting well from three.
He is.
My problem is like what Ty brought up. He's horrendous around the rim.
He's been really bad.
He's brutal. He blows layups, and this goes to my point is there's two things that I've noticed that he's not doing well. One, he's way off balance, and I don't know if that's a strength thing, like people knock him off his spot and then he's off balance and that's why he can't finish, or he just out of control when he's going to the basket and he doesn't feel comfortable going to the basket.
I think he's more worried about...
It's one of those two things.
Well, do you think he'll be more worried about trying to create contact above all else to get to the line?
Yeah, and that creates what? I do this in training all the time. When I train kids in high school, college, the worst thing I see, when kids can't finish around the rim, it's because they're too worried about the contact. They go looking for it instead of just going, focusing on the finish and absorbing the contact.
Yeah.
Like, I think in that Friday game, Ibaka blocked the crap out of him like three times.
Mm-hmm. He definitely got him once at least.
I think twice.
Maybe.
And it's because it's like he's worried about the contact and he's off balance, so it's easy to block his shot. And he's so long that I'm like, your shot shouldn't get blocked like that unless you're doing stuff that he's doing right now, which is being way off balance and missing like bunnies. He's missing like bunnies.
It's bad. The touch is not there. But first of all, he cannot get worse.
But he's not shooting efficiently. That's what, he scores. He's averaging 23 a game, but he hasn't had one game where I'm like, all right, he had an efficient night.
He's going to be
an
all-star.
Because that's what I'm all
about.
I get it.
You know he's going to be an all-star after this week.
I'm
not saying he should be necessarily. He will be, though.
It's just lame. To me, it's just not. Jaylen Brown has been hands down better than him.
Oh,
not
absolutely.
Even close.
He absolutely has. But he's not going to get Player of the Week nominations when he plays like 11 minutes in the first game.
I know.
None of that means
anything.
It's
just, I don't know.
I wish Jaylen had the aggressiveness that Jason has. I want Jaylen Brown to shoot more, is what I'm saying.
Yes, I understand. Yeah. There are times, though, when he pulls up from. Well, actually, no, I'm getting more comfortable with his 3-point shot. I feel more. But I still feel more comfortable with Jason Tatum pulling up from three than Jaylen Brown.
Oh, of course. Tatum's still a better shooter. I'm just saying it's. I haven't enjoyed watching him play. Tatum. Like, I just
I
think
know.
He's
I
not.
Said,
he's,
saying, oh.
Yeah. I think Wednesday will be a big test because obviously they're going against the Bucks, but
he's jacking up. He's not hesitating to. I mean, he'll be at nine shots by the end of the first quarter.
Yeah, but he needs to shoot.
Yes.
But it's like, dude, like, this is your third year in the league. You shouldn't. When he goes to the rim, it looks like he's a rookie.
He's shooting 28%
but
from two.
Think
I'm surprised it's 28.
Awful. Yeah. It's awful.
I feel like
worse than the team.
Right, and he's shooting, 45% from three, I think it is?
Yep,
yeah.
45.
So, I mean, the thing is that he's trying to do something that he's not done before, and I think that's where he's running into problems. I think he'll take even less mid-range shots than he's been taking. Certainly, hopefully, the ones that are contested, he'll kind of try and not take those as often. But I think that this is new to him to some extent. Trying to create that contact, and you say he's off balance and everything. I just think this is foreign to him. And through time and through practice and game reps that he'll make an adjustment.
It's not good that it's foreign to him. Getting to the rim by your third year, you should be able to finish.
Getting to the rim and trying. But before, he wasn't trying to think about creating contact. Now he is trying to create contact.
I mean, he just needs a finish.
I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just saying that's a different element.
I don't know if it's a strength thing. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm concerned about.
You think? Oh, you still think it's that?
Well, I said it's one of the two. It's either that he's overly concentrating about, drawing contact, and that that leaves him off balance, or he's just getting knocked off his spot and he's off balance because he's not. He's still.
I can see that.
Like with Jaylen Brown, his rookie year would get knocked off balance. I saw him Friday night. body someone and score and be balanced and score. And it was like, I'm like, damn, that's impressive.
That could be why he's running into the foul trouble, too, is because he's stronger than he used to be, and that's where he's, you know. But there's also some ticky-tack calls. So who are your other guys for your
three down? All right, Gordon Hayward was on mine, and on Twitter, you were like, wait, really? But you're right. He has come out slow.
Well, no, you said he needs to stop playing the rest of this game.
Yeah, I said bench him for the rest of the game, but I was just joking. But tell me that beginning of that Knicks game, I'm like, does Gordon Hayward know how to play basketball?
It's been so weird. He's starting off the game so slow.
And then slow the game, and, like, horrible.
Yeah, but then at the end of the game, he turns it on. I mean, that's why I wrote about it after the Sixers game. He needed to take over sooner. He went and took over at the end. It's like, oh, great.
And he did that. He did that Friday night, too. He played better towards the end. But he's horrendous. I mean, the Knicks game, I was joking, but I was like almost serious. I'm like, dude, don't even put him back in because he's pissing me off.
So there you go. He wasn't joking, Tyler. I knew. I was right.
But some of the passes he's making, I'm like, dude, what is it? And he blew like a layup. I'm like, hello? You know, did you come ready to play? Dude, you're not a rookie.
So I think this
kind of... I'm all hands off on the Gordon Hayward thing. Like last year, I was like, you know, he's come back from injury. I didn't judge him at all last year throughout anything.
That's good of you. You're a good
person. I didn't. But this year, the gloves are off, dude. Either show up and play. You're paying you $30 million.
You know what I think?
We're paying you $30 million. Show up and play.
Ty, when I think of Matt, I always think humanitarian. I'm trying to think what else. I mean, he's the exemplary individual, exemplary representation of scholarship. I'm trying to think of other big words.
Man of integrity.
Thank you. That would be perfect.
Show up.
So I thought this cut was interesting. This is the post game on NBC Sports Boston. This is Drapes and Scal. Drapes is quick to point out that Gordon had a very good first impression in game one, and Scal's not really having it.
If we're going to point out a positive from tonight, I love the play of Gordon Hayward. Scal, what did you think of him tonight?
I mean, I did think it was just okay. I'm not going to, like, fall in love with it.
You got graded on the curve compared to everybody else. He played his game, I thought.
Let me ask
you a question. There's a lot of focus on Kemba Walker, a lot of focus on Jason Tatum. So Gordon Hayward's, like, feasting on the third best defender.
Okay.
Like, I thought he was good. I liked how he got to the free throw line 11 times, but he is so far superior to the guys that he was going against.
So he should have been even better tonight.
No, I'm not saying, like... I'm not going to overreact and tell you how great Gordon Hayward was. I thought he was good today, but I don't think he was great. I don't think anybody on the Celtics were great. I don't think the Celtics played great today.
That was after opening night, and Drapes was trying to give credit to Gordon Hayward because it's his first game back.
I agree with 100%, though.
Yeah, but the Boston media does that all the time. When they did that last year, and I get it. Like, he's after that serious injury, but I'm saying the gloves are off the shot. I'm going to call it how it is. Like, I don't think he's been good. Like, he has had moments. What's great, I saw that last year. Dude, now it's time to earn your money, right?
You're right.
Be the player we signed you to be.
That's why when I wrote about that after the Sixers game, he needed to take over sooner. There have been times where he's played well. Like you said, he's had moments. At the end of that game, he played very well. Once he decided to be more aggressive, and Scal said it in the course of his breakdown in the game, too, I heard it. I mean, Scal's stepped up his game, by the way. He sounds much better than he has in the past, in my opinion. Anyway...
You're trying to get on Scal and Pals,
his new radio show. Radio.com, right? They're part of the family.
They are.
But my point is, though, whenever Gordon was aggressive, he had no problem scoring because he doesn't have the best guy on him. He doesn't have the second best guy on him. You need to expose that when you can. In that game, when Jason Tatum was off, unless it was from three, when Kemba Walker was off, you need to be the guy who's going to step up, especially if Jaylen Brown is not there. I mean, this is verbatim what I wrote.
Yeah.
And he didn't do that. So that's why when Scal doesn't want to praise him right away, even though he dropped whatever it was, 25 or whatever in that game, and shot fairly efficiently, he's right. Because that's on him to not step up soon enough.
You know what I also noticed being at that game Friday night? I was watching a lot, like, when they played defense. Like, I was like, all right, who's a good on-ball defender for the Celtics? I'll tell you who's not. Gordon Hayward sucks on the ball. Tatum is brutal on the ball. Jaylen Brown's okay. Marcus Smart and Kemba are obviously the top two best players on the team. Grant Williams is pretty good. But, like, I just thought it was, like, glaring how bad
but
Gordon
they're
Hayward...
forcing a lot more turnovers, too. Everybody's turning the ball over this year, though. Those numbers are skyrocketing.
Why does a guy like Tatum... I saw Tatum's, like leading the league in steals or whatever. And Gordon Hayward's up there. Why do you think those guys get steals?
Taking a lot of gambles.
Well, not even gambles. I'll put it this way. And a lot of guys don't. Maybe it's positioning, but this is more of what I noticed. When they get turnovers, it's because of the guys on the ball. Usually a lot of people don't recognize this. They'll say, oh, Jason Tatum's averaging this many steals. Well, it's not like he's picking dudes' pockets. He gets steals because other guys are pressuring the shit out of the ball, and they get that bad pass, and they get to go. Mm-hmm. So the people that don't get the credit are the guys like the Marcus Smart
yes.
and the Tatums who get deflections, and Kemba, and who like those guys who are up in the face of the guy with the offensive guy with the ball, and they're pressuring, and they get, you know, they create the turnovers, but they get no credit.
That reminds me of high school basketball. That's exactly how I worked with you and I.
Yeah,
you would get all the credit in the world.
Well, it's because we pressed, dude. It's different. We did a 1-3-1 press, so you would pressure the ball and I would steal it.
Did we tell you that? Yeah, no. That was way before you came on the show. Or not way before. I mean, it was like three episodes. But we had like, what was it I said? It was like seven different defenses, I think it was.
Probably 75.
We had like four or five presses.
I had the quarterback playbook thing on my
man
arm.
To man, 3-2, 2-3, 1-3-1. And then there was like a one, what was the amoeba? That was another one. That was our five half-court defenses. Then we had green, hard. It was hard green, soft green, white, red. And I think it was our presses, and then full court man to man.
That was in high school?
That was in high school. We had 10 defensive setups. That's not, I mean, you were training to be a coach. Does that make sense to you?
I mean, yeah, you gotta be prepared for all situations.
Just shut up. Okay. Yeah. But while Matt was going off on all that, and we saw it, we have the Hawks and Heat game going on in here. It looks like Trae Young hurt his ankle in the course of the game. He was getting helped off, and it did not look good. No, it did not look good.
But Ty, he's been looking pretty good, even though you hate him.
He's been shooting from the logo and making me look so stupid.
Every time he hit, it's in your face.
The player of the week, what he dropped, 38 and 39 in the first two games, 9 assists, 7 rebounds in both of them. I didn't look at his field goal percentages because, of course, why would I do that? It wouldn't make sense at all.
My last 2-3 downs. Mm. Sorry, even though it's not three.
I had to make sure we acknowledge
Carson
that.
Edwards. Looks like he's seeing the boogeyman.
Dude, so
and I get it. He's a rookie, so I'm not too harsh on him. But I'm like, wow, it's obvious that we're maybe a little too high on him. He's not ready yet.
So when Brad talked the other day,
so if we're not ready to say the Warriors are not a playoff team or change our opinion, how are we already doing that on Carson Edwards?
Well, Carson Edwards is Carson Edwards is a rookie. We're talking about Golden State Warriors who have veteran players. We're talking about a team. I'm talking about one person.
Right, but I think we all knew he was an NBA player before the regular season. So after three games, he's not.
I don't know, dude. Have you seen him in these three games?
He looks like
he doesn't even know where he is. He didn't look like that in the preseason.
His shot selection's bad, and when he misses, it's going to look worse.
I think
it's bad. It looks bad. Even his misses are bad.
I think he's in a foreign situation right now because he's used to always being the guy. He's not the guy, and he's jacking up shots left and right when he's in there. And it's happened the other – I cannot remember. So he played in the second of the back-to-back, so that would have been the Knicks game,
He played the Knicks game. He shot a couple breaks.
And there was one play in particular that stood out in my head, and I was like, what the hell are you doing? And he had the ball out on the wing, and Jason Tatum cut baseline, had no one there. Now, Carson Edwards could have made a move to go to the rim, which is what he ended up doing, and I think he missed the shot. But he could have had Tatum much sooner, and it wouldn't have been contested at all. It might have been an easy slam, but he didn't make that pass. And that's where right now I think he's trying to prove himself to get in more. Now, Brad talked about it on, I don't know if it was in the press conference or with Abby Chin or whoever it was, but he apparently talked to Carson on the trip about having value in a guy not playing on the first game of a back-to-back and then be able to get instant offense out of him in that second game. He didn't play on Friday against the Raptors. And I didn't
see this,
but I heard a couple other reporters saying how I guess he had his warm-up over his face at one point and he was upset. We got to the locker room. He was gone. His locker room was – his door was
– Carson?
His door was shut. Like, his locker room doors
after
were shut.
Just getting a DNP?
Yes, but I understand him not being there. But his, like, locker room doors were shut, and he was just gone. No sign of him whatsoever.
He doesn't want to talk to the media after one DNP as a rookie?
Well, he's not going to. No, who's going to –
But I understand, but that seems very childish to, like, not have your media responsibilities, get on the bus as soon as possible, sulk. I mean, the cameras were on
him. Thanks, Ty.
And you said his warm-up jacket was over his face?
I heard other people say that. I did not see that.
Any of that just sounds very childish. You're not really handling a good situation very maturely.
I think this is very foreign to him.
Thanks, Ty.
I haven't lost faith in Carson Edwards. Faith in Carson Edwards.
I didn't lose faith in him, but I'm calling how I see it. That's concerning. He looks like he's seeing ghosts. Kind of like the boogeyman.
Is that going to be a thing now for you? You're going to quote Sam Darnold all the time?
I don't know. I mean, when I watched him that first game, I went, oh boy. Because he's a good shooter, and he didn't even come close on his first couple shots. And then the next game, his first shot went off the backboard so hard, I thought they had to come replace it afterwards.
Did you think Jalen was going to look like what he looks like now when he was a rookie?
I don't think when he came in the game, though, he looked scared. That's what he looks. When I say he sees, looks like he's seeing ghosts, it looks like he's nervous.
He might be nervous. I mean,
RJ Barrett don't look nervous.
No, he doesn't. But RJ Barrett was also the number 3 overall pick, and he looks outstanding. And I feel really good about that.
So that means you have pressure on you. What pressure does Carson Edwards have on him?
He's trying to get minutes, and he's in a situation that he's never used to.
No.
RJ Barrett has
his job.
Room.
No,
he has. RJ Barrett has plenty of room to make mistakes because they're invested in him immensely. The Celtics are not as invested in Carson Edwards, no matter what anybody says. They're not. It's just the fact of the way it works, the way the business works, right?
Well, dude, you're not going to make it in this league without confidence, and he looks like he has no confidence.
We know that we've seen how he plays, and he plays with plenty of confidence.
Well,
A ton of shots like he does, he absolutely has some level of confidence. But yes, I think that upstairs something's going on. I definitely
Clearly.
Think that's the case.
All right, sorry. Anyway, let's move on.
That's fine.
Carson Edwards,
okay. Was that your last one?
Carson Edwards, okay. No, Robert Williams. But I was talking about...
Yeah, why is he down right now?
And defensively.
He looked better, though, than
no,
in the preseason.
He does not.
In
he
the preseason?
Not.
Yes, he does.
Oh, I'm talking about now. I'm not talking about the preseason. I'm talking about practice. Practice? Preseason? No, we're talking about the regular season, dude.
But we've seen progress over...
No,
I think he's
still not there yet defensively. And it has... If you watch the game, he is a step late on every freaking play.
Yes.
He's a step late. Stop being late. Dude, like, you're not a rookie anymore.
It seems like he likes to...
Dude, I can't take it. If he's late on one more play, and it's almost like, it's either two things, Robert Williams. I know you're listening to the 5-Out Pod. It's two things. You're either A, you don't care, or B, you're stupid. Which one are you?
I don't think...
Shout out to Buddha. That's
both.
His line.
It's both.
You're either A, you don't care, or B, you're stupid. What? And I honestly think he's kind of dumb.
Okay.
Because, dude, I mean, how many games in a row am I going to watch you? He's late on a play. Like, say it's a ball screen. He's late getting over. Then he bumps the guy. The guy gets a foul, goes to the line. And he's, like, looking at the ref, like, what did I do? Bro, get there in position. His positioning sucks. This isn't college. You can't block every single shot.
And that's one thing I've noticed is he likes to let guys get by him so then he can sneak up behind him and block him.
Which, yeah, that is one
for
thing.
I think the highlight.
Yeah, exactly. But some of these, like, pick and roll things.
But that's
things,
only going to work so often. Like, that's the problem.
Yeah, but I think some of these pick and roll things, I don't even know if that's the case because of the angle of where the guy's coming off.
There are times that, you're right, but there are other times where it's pretty clear.
Yeah.
He's trying to bait him, and then it's like, oh, and then they move too quickly on you, and you can't do that.
Because I think Scal's pretty down on him. Scal's always been down on him as a defender, give Scal credit for. And he talks about it all the time. He said it last year, and I'm like, maybe. When Scal talked about it last year, I didn't understand really what he was talking about because I guess I never watched Robert Williams play that much because he didn't play a whole lot. But he always talked about his positioning is always off, and he doesn't like him as a defender.
And this is why.
And now I've been watching him, and I'm like, wow, he was spot on.
And this is why Grant's getting all the minutes now, too.
Grant every goddamn minute he wants.
So right now, to close out a game, who would you guys have as your five
out there? It's those four guys, Kemba, Tatum, Brown, Gordon, and Grant.
I think that's my
five. I think the
five.
Only time
wait,
you
wait, who's your five there?
It's the four
it's
who you would think, and then Grant Williams.
The only time
they
you...
They were playing that one at pretty small a lot against the Knicks.
Yes, they were.
And
small,
they did it. And they did it against the Raptors.
Yep.
To close.
Yes, they did.
But
Smart's the only guy you would switch in there.
The only team you can't do... The only team you can't do that against is Sixers. You can't do that lineup.
Right. I wouldn't go that small. I would probably put Ennis in there. Oof. At the end of a game?
I mean, yeah, but...
Depending on the situation. I don't know.
You're not going to throw it out into a post guy and try and get a bucket at the end of a game.
But if you need someone to help you out...
No, but if I need a bucket, Ennis can get me one.
No, yes. If you need to get a rebound.
Yeah,
but, it depends. Like, you know, if they do a lot of pick and roll stuff, no, I don't want...
How'd you guys feel about those jerseys that Cantor...
Horrible.
Yeah. I blame Ennis. Them. It's all Ennis' fault.
Because of his terrible phone?
Yeah, he needs a better phone, yeah.
Well, they still didn't look good. The new version I saw, it was a greeny from Barstool.
It was straight teal, his video.
It's still the second version.
I thought it was like the New Orleans Pelicans like alternate jersey.
That's fine. I looked at it and I saw green initially. I don't know. Maybe I'm colorblind. But the second one does not look that much better. It looks better, but it's still, I'm not a fan. The more, like I said, my fashion review of the uniforms, the more they try and incorporate Golden Celtics uniforms, the more I'm out. I'm all set with that. we'll get to, you know what, the last thing was the college stuff, right? Was the NCAA is now apparently going to make it so that athletes, they're now allowing athletes to earn an income off their likeness and all this crap. The NCAA released a statement about it. Now, and they're saying how we got to adjust with the times and all this crap. Now, in the course of it all, in their statement, which is on their website, it's in their About Us section or whatever, they mentioned that the board said modernization, which is them allowing players to make money, should occur within the following principles and guidelines. And they use some big words here, so listen carefully. I'll try and read it slowly. One of the principles that they mention is assure student athletes are treated similarly to non-athlete students unless a compelling reason exists to differentiate. I feel like if you... I feel like being a student athlete is a compelling reason to differentiate. Oh, is it God. Not? Am I wrong?
No.
And this is for Division 1, 2, and 3 athletes. This is for everybody.
Why can't the NCAA just do something and then just be normal about it? Why do they have these stupid guidelines? These guidelines are the dumbest things
ever. They have to preserve amateurism.
Oh, yes, that Christ. Is something that they brought up in the course of all this. It's absolutely true. Now, the other thing, now this is the one that makes zero sense to me and basically says to me, you're allowing, I'll just read it first. Make clear that compensation for athletics performance or participation is impermissible. So when I heard that, I had to read that like 5 times. Because when I read that, after I think I've comprehended it well enough, what that's basically saying is if Tyler Devitt is the starting point guard at Georgia under Tom Crean.
Oh, God.
Right? And then Papa John says he's the number one player in the country. He's going to go and be first round draft pick or whatever, first overall, whatever. We want him on our billboards. They can't use Georgia's logo, which I understand that. That kind of makes sense.
Right.
But then you can't go and have him have a basketball in his hand. You can't go and have him use him in a commercial and have him playing basketball. Like that's what I got out of that. So basically, all they can do is use Tyler Devitt, his name, his face, and put him in a t-shirt and say, this is Tyler Devitt. And if you don't follow Georgia basketball or college basketball, you don't know who he is. I mean, that's what I got out of it.
I think that's fair.
You think that's fair for the NCAA to do that? Or you think it's fair that it got
I think
that?
It's fair because if you read by the letter of the law, like you just said, the sentence was make clear that compensation for athletics, performance, or participation. So it's basically saying the way I read it as like, the Kentucky basketball team can't get extra money for going to the NCAA tournament based on their performance. They can't get any extra money for just appearing in the NCAA tournament.
If that's what it is, that's fine.
That's the way I read it as you performing or just playing in a sporting event as an athlete, you cannot be paid for that.
That's fine.
But John Wall and Boogie Cousins, while they were at Kentucky, would now be allowed under this rule to make money from Pizza Hut or whatever.
But would they be? But advertising them as a basketball player, as what I'm.
That's where I'm confused on it. I don't know what the difference is because if I strip Nick Fryer of the writing ability, and I just want to say Nick Fryer is endorsing my product. But if people driving around don't know who Nick Fryer is without, you as a writer, then what is the point of you being the endorsement person?
Like, exactly.
If I don't know who the endorsement person is, then it's probably a bad endorsement.
So, I'm wondering if it's more...
Right?
Exactly. So, yeah. I'm wondering now, hearing what you think on it, yours makes more sense. Like, that I'm okay with. But if it's what I'm saying, then that just seems really dumb to me. So, I'm there's just too much gray area in this, again, and it's confusing, and why, like you said, Matt... Why can't the NCAA just make this simple?
Bring back college basketball game.
Yeah, that's not going to
happen. Bring back NCAA hoops.
I mean, I don't think it's going to happen with this now, right?
This won't change it, no. And I saw Darren Rovell say that, no, for all the people that think that NCAA football, which has long been, a lot of interest in bringing that game back, he doesn't think that has much of a chance. So.
You know what I forgot? And I did not tell either of you this before the show because I wanted to get your initial reaction off this. So we all know that there have been, various individuals who have been outspoken about this whole matter, right? One person who has weighed in on it is LeBron James, right? You guys remember that? He did it on, what was it? The barbershop show that he has. What's it called?
The Shop.
The Shop. It is Shop. Okay. So this is what he tweeted out when the news broke on Tuesday. It's a beautiful day for all college athletes going forward from this day on. Thank you guys for allowing me to bring more light to it. I'm so proud of the team at Uninterrupted, bringing focus on this and to everyone who has been fighting this fight, not a victory, but a start. first of all, I think it is somewhat of a victory. But second, LeBron making this about himself.
Oh, really? Did he?
I would say so.
I never thought he... I always think he, you know, he's about others. I didn't think he was about himself.
He's the most selfless individual there is on the planet. Man. You didn't know that?
No.
He does do a lot of good
Shocker.
Things.
Shocker. He tried to put his name out there.
I figured Tyler would get more annoyed with that than anybody.
I should, but...
Hey, LeBron, how you doing after Kawhi gave you a nice L?
It's so predictable. It's so predictable.
Did you see that thing with him and Anthony Davis and his hair? That was uncomfortable.
No, I didn't. I honestly don't watch anything that has to do with LeBron.
Oh, okay. Good to know. That's why you don't watch Nick Wright at all. Do you have your shout out prepared for this week?
Do I have my shout out?
Yes.
See, the only thing that stinks is that I want to give out my shout out to the same people I did last week, just because I know it's lame, but
I was gonna say lame.
My mom and dad, shout out to them. We ran 26.2 miles in some crazy rain and wind, and we ended up raising $14,600 for the American Cancer Society, so that was pretty awesome.
That is outstanding. So, well done.
Thanks.
We will talk to you guys again next week.
What it do, baby?
Yeah, you already know.
I'm just trying to be all right with it, yeah. I'm just trying to be all right with it, yeah. I'm just trying to see the light in it. I think we should take a ride with it, yeah. I'm just trying to spend the night with it, yeah. I just want to be all right with it. I'm just trying to see the light in it. I think we should take a ride with it. Hey, I got no resolutions. I'm just hoping for some.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.